You're listening to TSN 1200.
Ben Strinden, right back on it for North Dakota. Caulfields, Clevin, his shot finds its way past Pearson on a wicked redirect in front.
To an open man, that's Clevin. Clevin, rebound, goal! It's all Fargle, baby!
McLaughlin skates in patiently, and he pings it off the pipe, and Clevin does it again! You see the smile on his face. That's the smile of a guy that scored four goals this weekend.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. 9:20 here on this Thursday morning. JR, Simmer is an unhealthy scratch today. Hopefully back tomorrow. Thanks again to Michaela Schreider for sitting in alongside DeHammer. We got Sens tickets to give away before 10 o'clock. Stand by for that for a game against Detroit coming up later on in the month. But as the highlight pack coming back would suggest, time to get caught up on all things Tyler Clevin. Our next guest, he became a semi-regular when North Dakota was sort of the Sens farm team for a while. But as the numbers whittled down, the conversations became fewer. And that's our fault. So it's time to reconnect with the head coach of the North Dakota men's hockey team. That would be Brad Berry joining us this morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How you doing this morning, Coach?
Good. How you doing, JR?
Excellent. And again, apologies. Simmer and I should have connected with you sooner, a little more often. That wasn't really right for us, but you know, you only had the one player. You used to have four, so we had lots of people to talk about. But how are things going? And maybe give us an overall on just how this season has been for North Dakota through the majority of the regular season.
Yeah, you know what? It's a little bit different year than the past three. We won the Penrose Cup, which symbolifies the league championship for the NCHC league in college hockey. And this year, we're a little bit inconsistent in our play a little bit. So we're grinding away here, and we're fighting for home ice, and we have about probably five more weekends left, and then playoffs start. So we're peaking at the right time. We won a couple of games on the road here this weekend, this past weekend, that we're good momentum builders for us.
Do you find, and I know we've had this conversation with you, but you know, with the way that eligibility rules have changed and the ability for players to go into the portal and change teams, and there is a state of upheaval, it seems like, and no matter the sport, football, hockey, whatever, we do see a lot more change. Has that been created some difficulties for you just in terms of kind of managing what bodies you're going to have on the team in any given year?
Yeah, it does a little bit. Like, we don't get affected by players leaving usually through the portal. We have one or two maybe in, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever. But at the end of the day, we kind of benefit a little bit from helping our lineup, bolster our lineup with maybe a little bit older player with the transfer portal. But, you know, we're in the game, obviously, to win championships, but we're really in the game for development. And that guy that you got there, I think his name is Jake Sanderson, played two years for us here. Man, you don't know how much you miss a guy like that until he leaves here. But then again, it's opportunity for growth for other younger defensemen to come in and play. And you know what? Tyler Clevin's the direct benefit of that. Now he's the guy this year, and he's having a tremendous year.
All right, let's talk. Let me get your thoughts on, because I'm sure that you got an eye on your own team, but you do in your free moments kind of look at all of your players that graduate out of your program, and a lot of them move on to the pros. And we've seen now three of them here in Ottawa, and Jake Sanderson certainly has had a lot of success right out of the chute. He has been even better, I think, Brad, than people thought he would be. Are you surprised by seemingly how much success he's had in year one in the National Hockey League?
Well, I know you and Simmer have asked me that question all the time, even when Jake was here, is how is that going to transcend into NHL hockey? And like I said, I got to be very careful, because I think the American League is an unbelievable league for development. But man, oh man, the 2 years that I had him here, and then obviously recruiting him here to North Dakota, he was a special, special player. And, you know, you always hope that, you know, he can jump right in and play, but you never know until you do. And I just think he just oozes with confidence and humility and hard work. And when you have those attributes, yeah, I think you have a pretty good chance for success.
What were the things when he came into your program that you worked on with him through the 2 years that you had him? And what are you seeing? And you know, I'm assuming you do see at least some of his play here in Ottawa. What are you seeing even in this year here in Ottawa that you've seen him improve upon?
Well, I think, you know, his puck touches, you know, I think everybody talked about how good defensively he was and how an elite skater he was, you know, through the neutral zone and defending the rush. But I think, you know, just his offensive ability and his his adeptness or playing with the puck, you know, making plays and having an offensive flair to him. And, you know, I'm seeing that now, you know, a little bit in the NHL, how that's going. But he really expanded it here in college, you know, over his 2 years. And, you know, I watch your guys' games all the time, you know, with Pinto and Sanderson and JBD when he's in the lineup. And, you know, I saw a game the other night when, you know, Sanderson was, you know, defending a 5-on-3 and a deflector puck over the glass just by his awareness. And he's just a smart player. And like I said, you can't teach smart. And at the end of the day, he's such an intelligent player.
What does it feel to you as a are you kind of like a proud papa? Is that how it feels at this stage when you see your guys in the NHL?
Well, you know what, we're you know, in North Dakota here, we're a really, really close team, and each and every year, and you know, our culture is very strong, and you know, I love every one of them. You know, as a son that leave our program, whether they play in the NHL, whether they play in the American League, Europe, or if they don't even play hockey, if they go out and get a unbelievable job and raise a family, I love every one of them. And you know, the one most recently that was kind of a long shot, maybe you could call it, was Cole Smith, that's playing in Nashville right now, the big left winger. And you know, he was a guy that came on low money scholarship, started from the fifth line, worked up to the first line, and you know, he had a long road ahead of him, and now he's playing in the NHL. And again, everybody has their own path, but you love them all.
Brad Berry, the head coach of North Dakota men's hockey team, is with us here on TSN 1200. You mentioned Shane Pinto as well. In terms of goals, had a great start to the year, Brad. It's kind of cooled off, but has been a regular member of the lineup throughout his entire year. And most importantly, has stayed healthy as well. Do you talk to Shane very much? And have you talked to him much during this season? And how have you seen his season play out in your eyes?
Well, you know what? It's funny the way the world works now, you know, with phone calls and stuff. Everybody's so busy every now and then with a phone call, but for sure a text every week or every couple weeks. You know, I'll be telling him, watching his games and different things. I don't coach him anymore as far as what he should do. That's DJ's job and the group there. But at the end of the day, you know, he's watching us, you know, saying, hey, great job on the weekend on the sweep, and, you know, talk to the boys and stuff. So he's connected with our group here, and we do that with all of our guys.
Mm. So, you know, Jake has had immediate success. Shane has, you know, he's played, been in the lineup. And JBD, it's been more up and down for him. What's been your read on his development as he's reached into professional hockey?
Yeah, you know what? And just like I said before, too, you know, I think everybody has their own path and their own timeline. And I firmly believe JBD has an opportunity and a chance long-term to do that. And, you know, I watched some games and, you know, he had to get put in, you know, high in the depth chart in the lineup a couple of games. And I thought he did well. And like I said, I think it's one of those things where, you know, taking his time through the American League and getting games in the National League, and I think it'll, you know, he'll get things sorted out to where he needs to go. He's such a great person, and I think he's such a competitor that, you know, experience will absolutely help him.
All right, let's talk about the one player you still have, the one Ottawa prospect you still have at North Dakota. And remember, in the conversations through his first 2 years with you, you said that he needed to spend at least 3 years in college hockey to really develop his game, talking about to Tyler Cleven, of course. So what have you seen in the third year, especially from him?
Leadership. I think, you know, huge leadership, you know. And I don't want to say, you know, when Jake Sanderson and Tyler Cleven here, they came in together. And, you know, obviously Jake got a lot of attention, you know, with his ability. And so did Tyler, but I think mostly Jake. And I think now that Tyler's kind of moved on to Ottawa, to the NHL, you know, it allowed Tyler to be the guy. And he is. And, you know, just through leadership in our group and one-on-one meetings with him and on the ice, just his confidence. And, you know, we always know he could defend and be a hard player to play against. But I'll tell you what, he's a hard player to defend when he's in the offensive zone on 5-on-5 on a power play. Like, his shot is lethal. He's, you know, he won us a few games late in games to on the power play on the offside flank. And in college, there's guys that can fire the puck, but not too many guys like him. And now he's starting to you know, grow confidently in the offensive game. And I know when he gets to the NHL, that's not going to be his strong suit or a thing that is going to be leaned upon. But man, oh man, it's nice to have that in your back pocket every now and then, knowing that whether it's 5-on-5 or power play, you can be effective.
Brad, one of the things just in watching the games from him is he's got great size, which I absolutely love, obviously, for the professional game. But He's also a pretty good skater for a guy his size as well, and the ability to get around the ice a little bit. How has that part of his game developed?
Well, for sure, you know, and I call him powerful. Like, you know, like he can cover ice really quickly, and especially with his reach. And then not only cover ice and with his reach, but, you know, at the end of the day, he finishes hard. And, you know, in college hockey right now, obviously we're very stringent with our penalties and different things like that. And I know he's been more disciplined here, but he's just a bigger body than everybody else at our level. You know, there are some big guys in college hockey, but, you know, his total package puts him a lethal threat out there as far as defending and guys making aware that he's on the ice.
Now he does have 67 penalty minutes this year, which would be, well, highest total on your team and one of the highest totals in NCAA hockey. And, you know, the totals are kind of exaggerated a little bit because he's had, you know, three major incidents, we'll say, this year. Were they all legit calls, in your opinion? Was there something where it's like, as you said, he's just bigger than everybody else, and the penalty calls and the misconducts, et cetera, were more based on result as opposed to intent?
Yeah, no, I think two of them were, I think, you know, they were pretty, you know, like I said, bigger than everybody else, you know, with somebody by the wall and he turned at the last second. And it wasn't egregious penalties. It was just bigger guy, smaller guy kind of thing. But one was a cross check after a whistle that would led to some frustration. You know, he's been really disciplined this year, and there was a situation that presented itself where probably could have made a better decision. But at the end of the day, he's competitive. And, you know, we've talked about that before as far as, like, hey, we want you on the ice. You're a guy that's, you know, our leader in our group here. And he's been good this year. It's just there was this one instance. But he's been outstanding. His discipline has been you know, really good this year just because he is a leader.
How much has he played for you in a typical game? How much ice do you give him?
Well, we had to lean on him hard the other night again. You know, we were, you know, we've, like I said, we've been inconsistent, and it's not his play. You know, we've had some younger guys in the lineup and some guys that obviously need to, you know, play a little bit at a higher level here, but that forces guys like Tyler to play a lot, and we don't apologize for it. We want him on the ice, but he ranges anywhere from probably on a low minute night, probably 23, to a high minute night, 28, 29, somewhere there.
With Brad Berry, the head coach of North Dakota, I know in watching games over the last couple of years, Brad, that you are not afraid of playing a defenseman on his offside. And correct me if I'm wrong, but even certainly Jake, we saw a lot of that, but even Tyler a little bit. Has that been part of the package, or are you keeping him on one side exclusively this year?
Well, this year he's been paired with Ethan Frisch, who's a senior defenseman. He's about a, you know, average size defenseman, strong body, very good defender. Those guys have been our top 2D, and they play very well together. But in saying that, when you when some guys are a little bit inconsistent on the back end, you know, in the 5-6 spot, we throw Tyler Clement every now and then on the right side and with another lefty. And he's done well. He's done really well. And like I said, the points he's been scoring on the power play is on the offside flank one time at pucks. And there's a lot of times when you got to retrieve, you know, rim around the offensive zone on releases and then bring it back to the middle and, you know, have pucks in your backhand. And, you know, also, too, 5-on-5 defending a rush. You know, sometimes guys can't play that side, you know, if you're a lefty playing the right side. And he has no problem at all.
I know, as we said off the top, that you thought that he should play 3 years, and he's into his third year. How much, if any, discussions have you had with Ottawa about his development, the development coaches here? How often are they visiting North Dakota?
Yeah, they're in here pretty regularly. They are, whether we're at home or on the road. And, you know, they're open and on to discussions. And you know, like I said, at the end of the day, I think there will be an opportunity for Tyler to come out and play after his junior year. I think he's checked a lot of boxes to earn that right to have an opportunity to play in the NHL. It's just a matter of, you know, I guess where Ottawa sees him and, you know, how they want to play it, you know, play him, start him in the NHL or the American League and see where it goes. But for me, you know, he's done a lot of things here. You know, there are sometimes guys come back for a fourth year, but not too many times, you know, in a situation of a player like Tyler Clement. So I think he's got, you know, we've got couple of months left of the season here. Hopefully we can go on a deep run, and then obviously there's decisions to make, but he's earned that opportunity.
Do you and he have discussions about about, you know, this year playing itself out and whether he comes, whether he should go pro or come back for next year? Are those discussions taking place or not really during the season?
Yeah, you know what? They usually happen at the beginning of the year and then maybe at Christmas time. And then as the year goes by in the second half, it's more focus on the strong finish that we want to have. But those discussions still, you know, they're open. They're the doors open all the time. And but, you know, the groundwork has already been laid. And he knows my feeling, too, that, you know, usually a player, you know, a high draft pick like that plays 3 years. Usually that's the opportunity to leave right after that third year and go. And, you know, it was a long time ago, but I did it as well. You know, when I was a second-round pick and I left after my third year, and it turned out pretty well to start with. But at the end of the day, everybody's different. And again, like I said, Tyler's earned an opportunity to have that at the end of the year if he so chooses.
I know that they're not the same player, but JBD was with you for 3 years and then turned pro. And then, of course, Tyler's finishing his third year. Do you look at them, again, different players, but do you look at them in terms of their development path as being somewhat similar and how that path, as it translates to the NHL, may be somewhat the same?
But, you know, I hate to do that just because at the end of the day, like, players are different. And I think JBD and Tyler are very much a lot different and, you know, in the style of their game. And I think it all depends on, I guess, how that NHL team sees, you know, Tyler, you know, and how much ready they think he is. And, you know, it might be a situation they say, well, we're going to give him games early, or they might just say, hey, you're going to go down to Belleville and, you know, you need to get some pro experience, which is good too. You know, at the end of the day, I think it, you know, players are so different, and at the end of the day, that NHL team has to carve that path out for them.
All right, good stuff. Great to catch up with you again. Again, our apologies for not doing it, and we'll do it again maybe toward the end of the season. But great to hear about Tyler, and great to see that you think your team can go on a deep run. We're sort of conflicted here in Ottawa, right? Because the sooner your season's done, the potential of a player coming out is there. But we wish you all the best through the rest of the regular season and into the NCAA playoffs as well.
Yeah, tell Stimmer I miss him and tell him to get better there.
Okay.
Get him back in the lineup.
Will do. Sounds good, Brad. Thanks a lot for the time.
All right,
there's Brad Berry joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. All right, so good to get caught up on Tyler Cleven. 6 goals, 7 assists. So 13 points so far in this season, 67 penalty minutes. But the 67 is more made up through three nights of 15 minutes or more, which is mostly a major and then a misconduct. As he said, probably one was deserved and maybe two or more, if you like to call it, big boy penalties. So I'm really interested to see how his game is going to translate into the professional level. I don't think there's really much doubt that he's a Belleville player. And maybe we see him for a game or two with Ottawa toward the end of the year, but to Belleville next season. But how long is that timeline? Will it be similar to JBD? Will it be quicker? Or is it going to take longer? That'll be one of the interesting things to watch. We'll take a break. 9:37. Still to come, Sens Wings tickets for a game later on in the month of February as we roll on here for a Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're back, 9:46, Thursday morning. Okay, let's give away these Sens tickets. It is a four-pack of tickets to see the Sens February 28th game against the Red Wings. That's the second of what turns out to be back-to-back games. And I just looked at the schedule the other day. I don't know whether it's actually written into the PA or whether it's just kind of a handshake thing with the schedule maker. I know that they don't schedule 4 games in 5 nights any longer. But when that Ottawa-Detroit game, which was, the Friday night just before Christmas, ended up getting postponed because of the storm, they moved it to February 27th, so not the tickets, but the night before. That, I looked at the schedule. Ottawa plays Friday night, Saturday night, and then Monday night and Tuesday night, back-to-back against the Wings. So there's no travel on the last 2 days, but still it's 4 games in 5 nights, which I believe that would be the only, Ottawa would be the only team that would be playing 4 games in 5 nights this season. Anyway, I digress. Tickets for the February 28th game. Text us the correct answer to this number. So it's your first and last name. Text 12-1200, standard messaging rate supply, with the correct answer to this question, and do it in the next 5 minutes. It'll give you time. Listen, try to do it, try to think about it and get it without looking it up. The looking it up option will be there. We've given you enough time.
Are you scolding or
no? It's
challenging.
It's challenging. Yeah, consider it a challenge.
It sounds like though you don't know easy.
I gave you the question off air.
Yes.
Did you?
Would I have gotten it?
Yes.
Not a chance in heck.
Yeah. Even if you thought about it.
Well, you didn't really give me a lot of time to think about it,
no,
so it's hard to answer now. I mean, I think it still would have been a little bit difficult for this guy. I think there's some hardcores out there that are going to get it right away.
So do you want to do it the first person with the correct answer? Because that would be a person who probably... Now, this would unfortunately dial out the people who are listening on their smart speaker, et cetera, who are hearing us 45 seconds after the actual words are leaving my mouth. So that's the...
But also, if you're driving, most, you know, I think we can go with number one here.
Right.
If you're driving, you can't be texting right now anyways.
Well, you do voice to text.
You got to pull over.
Voice to text.
That never works. I'm gonna get some other name gobbledygook.
Okay. Do you want to do the first correct answer?
First correct answer on the old texting machine.
12-1200. Text us the correct answer, your first and last name. Here's the question. Name the only player who's played for both the Detroit Red Wings and the Ottawa Senators this season. Name the only player who's played for both the Wings and the Sens and is still on one of the two teams. Okay, I don't think there's anybody else, but I'll put that caveat in there. Okay? Name the only player who's played for both the Wings and the Sens this season. Text 12-1200. First correct answer wins the tickets. Four-pack of tickets, February 28th game. Sens and Wings. Did you see that Connor Bedard had 17,000 fans at the Saddle Dome last night to see Connor Bedard play?
That's insane. That's
on a
crazy
Wednesday night?
And they asked Connor, too. Like, he's even surprised by the amount of attention he's getting.
He plays Regina. They had played in Calgary, where they played last night, earlier this season. There were 3,000 fans at that game, which is a good crowd for a junior hockey game. Not bad. But... it's just been the season he's had. And then the World Juniors just put it over the top, where he is now across the Western Hockey League, whether it's at home in Regina or on the road, he sells out every rink. And 17,000 isn't quite a sellout in Calgary, but it's pretty close.
Well, you're paying, what are you paying in the W? Let's just say an average ticket price of $20, $25.
Yep.
To see an NHL player right now.
He's a cash cow for the other teams and for Regina.
Picked up. Well, I think that's why Regina. No, he doesn't want to be traded. Yeah, you don't want to trade him either before that deadline earlier on in the year because you're filling the seats here. You're filling the rink. There's no reason to.
Well, when you saw some of the trades that were made at the trade deadline in the WHL, like what Olden Zellweger got traded for, what was it ended up being? 14 players and draft picks. It's crazy. And he's really good. But Connor Bedard.
Think of
what you would have got. Like, Regina would have been set up in terms of a future, but John Paddock had committed, and when Connor Bedard went there as a 15-year-old, he has a no trade. And I'm not sure if he invoked in the no trade or told him he didn't want to get traded.
I think they asked him, and he said, I don't want to go anywhere.
Right. And they probably would have acquiesced to his wishes, whichever way he wanted, because Regina, for those that haven't looked, they're life and death to make the playoffs, despite the fact that they have by far the best player in junior hockey. They were, when I looked last night before they played the game, they ended up winning in a shootout. They're in eighth place in their conference. They have the last playoff spot. And that's despite having Connor Bedard on their team. So my point being that when they asked him, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay or do you want to go? If he wanted to go, I'm assuming the team that would trade for him would be a team that wanted to push themselves over the top for the Memorial Cup. And he said, nope, I'm going to stick in Regina. So he's probably going to be done either at the end of the regular season or if his team makes the playoffs, given where they're standing right now, he's probably going to maybe go out in the first, maybe the second round. And that would be a relatively early end to his hockey season. He's played a lot of hockey, but I wonder would he go to the World Championships?
You have to ask him if you're Hockey Canada, don't you?
Does Connor Bedard go, though? Do you risk injury this close to your draft and everything like that? Like, that's all part of the equation as well.
I think Connor's done enough where maybe he could use a little break, maybe get out of the spotlight as well. Let's face it, especially right now, he's just being, I don't want to say chased, but everywhere he goes right now, he's doing an interview. Home, away, all the dealings with Hockey Canada. If I'm him, but I mean, he might just love tossing on that maple leaf. But maybe a little break would do him good before the draft, too, because that is going to be a crazy time for him as well.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. And, of course, Connor Bedard, by the way, did get a goal and an assist last night in the Regina win in a shootout. And he now has – he got shut out in the first game they played this season in terms of points, and he's had a point in every game since. He is on a 35-game point streak in the WHL. Of course, missed a bunch of times because he was away for a month at the World Juniors. But he scored in every other game they played this year except for the very first one this season. And since he's come back from the World Juniors, they had the game on TSN last night, I think he's got 26 points in 8 games.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like, just the goal he scored last night, if you haven't seen the highlight on SportsCenter, I mean, the Calgary defenseman kind of turns it over at the bottom of the circle, but to the side, like over near the boards at the bottom of the circle. He turns it over. Of course, who's standing there ready for, like, all good goal scorers? Ah, look whose stick it ended up with. But it wasn't a great angle. And he just rips it right over the guy at the goalie's shoulder. Not a huge area to shoot. It just absolutely just wired it right. Like, on his stick, by mistake, boom, off, goal.
It's the speed that he gets that puck off his stick and just the veracity. It is so hard. And it looks like he doesn't have to put any effortless. And that's why he's going to score a lot of goals. Best player in the draft since Connor McDavid?
Yes.
Better than Connor McDavid?
No.
I mean, long-term projecting. Do you think he...
No.
Not the overall...
No.
Great goal scorer?
Yes. Close. But I'll say Connor McDavid this year... I looked up this morning, is on pace to score 67 goals and 151 points.
Well, who predicted that?
Me. I said 70 plus 80, and you guys laughed at me.
Well, I don't remember that.
At your friend.
I don't remember that.
You laughed at me.
I think I agreed with you. Like, if he's going to decide I want to score goals, yeah, then he can score 60. He just has to decide, yeah, that's what I want to do this year. I want to score.
It's like the year that Gretzky scored 92. Gretzky was, like, he still scored lots of goals before that, but it was mainly, I'm going to set everybody else up just because I can. And then he decided that one year, I'm just going to try and score this year. And he scored 92 goals that year. It was crazy. So, anyway, Connor McDavid. Being able to score goals is an elite skill. That's why the goal scorers get paid more than the point getters. You need the person who can actually put the puck in the net. That's why Alex DeBrincat, I mean, he's had good point-producing years, but the reason he's got what is this year a $9 million salary is the fact that he has scored 40 goals in the NHL. If he had the same number of points but 20 goals, so I believe he got in around 80 points, right? So let's say instead of 40 and 40, he was 20 and 60, he's not making $9 million. He's still making a lot, but he's not making $9 million.
So where do you think Connor Bedard could top out in the NHL in terms of goals? In terms of goals in a season?
So
just the way that we've seen him.
Is he going to win? Are you asking me if I think that he's going to win multiple Rocket Richard trophies?
I think that's a for sure.
Oh, absolutely. The question is going to be how quickly is going to be in the running. Right? He's going to go to, well, of course we know, going to end up with the Chicago Blackhawks because Gary Bettman wants it that way.
Cold balls theory?
Exactly.
Chicago Blackhawks.
They're going to be a bad team, or whatever team he ends up with. They're going to be a bad team. So he's not going to have a lot to play with initially. So, but as soon as it'll take, I'll say within, by his third season, he'll be in the running for the Rocket.
Man. The Blackhawks will do it right, too. They're not going to be looking to dipping into the free agency pool and trying to expedite it with Connor Bedard. They'll do it right. But, I mean, if you can just give him a couple of line mates, I think it could be a little bit quicker than that. I mean, power play.
If there aren't shenanigans at play and he ends up in Columbus or in Anaheim, which are the other two teams that are really bad this year, in Columbus he could play with Johnny Gaudreau.
There's still some talent, yeah.
Awesome setup guy. And in Anaheim, there's Trevor Zegras. There's some
and
players.
He can do it himself, too. We've seen that as well.
Absolutely.
He doesn't count on a teammate. He can dipsy-doodle. We saw that with the OT winner the OT marker against Slovakia. I think he's going to be, in terms of NHL goal scoring, I think he's going to be up there in all time. Of course, you're looking at health and everything like that, too, taking part. It's just such a super elite shot that he's got going for him.
Incredible. Incredible. Okay, have you picked a winner?
Well, there's a lot of people smarter than me because as soon as you say call now, boom.
Text now.
Text now. It started, and we do have a winner.
Everybody,
I haven't called them yet.
Okay.
But we do have a winner.
Percentage-wise, you eyeballed it because we get several hundred entries.
Oh, a ton.
Most of the people were right?
Most of the people were right.
Did anybody say, I didn't look it up?
I didn't deep dive into that.
Not that you had to.
Time.
That wasn't part of the deal with the entry. And again, the question was, name the only player who's played for both the Red Wings and the Senators this season and is still on one of the two teams.
And people are still texting in. Oh, Tyler Motte. Incorrect answer.
Tyler Motte? Who'd guess Tyler Motte? Okay, the correct answer is Magnus Hellberg, the goaler, who, of course, played one game with Ottawa, was the first star in the game, had the great pads, came from Seattle, had the great kit from Seattle, or the setup, as they call it in the goalie business, followed it up with the great setup with the Sens, boom, gone, ends up in Detroit, got the great setup. Whoever his equipment guy is, in terms of the look, man, that guy deserves a raise. Magnus Hellberg is the correct answer. Who's our winner?
Tyler Hapartisan is our winner.
Nice job, Tyler. Congratulations. You are on your way, perhaps, to see Magnus Hellberg, who I believe is the backup in Detroit these days. And the Detroit Red Wings take on the Ottawa Senators February 28th at Canadian Tire Center. It's a 7 o'clock faceoff. Tickets for all Sens games always available at senators.com/tickets. We'll have another set of tickets to give away coming up tomorrow morning. Okay. Yeah, we've had a few people away. We've had some people who have been sick. So I'm going to be very honest and upfront and tear the curtain back. And even though I'm the guy that makes the schedule, I know that Steve Lloyd is working next.
Steve Lloyd?
Yes. Who's working with him?
The Creature, baby.
All right, Graham Creech. Okay, because I know Kenny's off with the 67s. And anyway.
And there's a lot of audibles that happen, too. There's a lot of changes. So
yes.
I don't think anybody everybody will forgive you for not knowing exactly who's on in the box.
Well, I should have looked it up, but I got busy with other things.
Well, usually you ask me in the middle of the show, who's on in the box? Is it Creature today?
It is Steve Lloyd and Graham Creech. Stand by for that. It is AJ, I believe, CJ this afternoon alongside the Big Red.